Blog Talk Radio. we must also realize
trying to get the news to us. The bishop just tell them the news. You know, we have so many brothers been murdered and killed. What Russia's doing to Crimea ain't nothing what they did to black folks. We didn't have a toothpick, we didn't have a gun, we didn't have nothing. We were hung, lit, burnt, and some of us being racial profiled. Now, again, was telling me about the mayor of Atlanta. They put her out of some restaurant. I don't know the details of it, but I want to tell you, you got that suit on, and you can't shake it, you can't bleak it. That's the suit of blackness. You got to wear it with honor and pride. You got to wear that suit with blackness that you are something special. God made you a special man, a special woman. God made you to stand out beyond the crowd. So I want you, don't be ashamed of hiding your blackness. God Almighty. You try to be somebody else. I want you to be yourself tonight. I want to share with you the word of God, the power of God. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. That God got something for you, and it's all for you. And what God got for you, man, woman, what God got for you, can't nobody take it, because God gave you that melody. God gave you that anointing. God gave you, you know, I was telling everybody's son was saying, he rolls. Every preacher, he rolls. Yeah, he rolls, but when black folks gonna rise? And Jesus rose, got up, and said, all power. But what about happening to us, black folks, is really to rise? Every preacher, I was telling a girl, I know what the sermon was. He rose. Yes, he rose, but did you rise? Did your mind go to the next level? Did your body go to the next level? Did you claim your healing and your deliverance? Jesus is the reason for the season. And you got to understand, yeah, he rose, but you got to ask the question, did I rise to another level where I'm not going to be put down, profiled, the killing black, you know, that, over what they did over in Michigan, they've been doing all over. This black, it just got him from Africa, and they killed him before he could get him good. There's a lot going on, but I want to tell you, God is still in control. And I don't want to in your life, I don't want to know. God, let me know when to prophesy to you and when you give your word. But until you make up your mind that you're going to do the right thing for the right reason, you're going to get the right result. You do the wrong thing for the wrong reason, you're going to keep falling in a hole. Keep falling in a pit. You keep having negative people around you. You can't make negative folks. You got to get away from them. God bless you. You got to get away from them. God open that new door for you. I want you to get ready. You know, Mary, I want to thank you for coming on. You was on last, you were on from Detroit Sunday. We had a glorious time. I mean, it was packed out everywhere. Now, you know, I know what we put out. God did it. You know, God said, you just show up, I show out. And anytime you want a breakthrough, you show up, and God will make everything all right. He said, I want you to go up on the mountain for sacrifice. When he got there, that was a ram in the bush. God always got a ram in the bush for you. You got to accept what God got for you. You got to accept what God going to do for you this year. What God going to do for you. Because he's going to do something special for you. I'm praying special for you tonight. Every little. Now, I want to ask a question before we go deep. I want to ask a question, if you want to answer. What do you think about all this war that's going on? And I was talking to Brother Gavin. He said, Bishop, I see the war over in Premier, but look at the war in Chicago, the shooting. black on black crime. And we shooting each other, we shooting our little children. We shooting our mamas, our daddies, we shooting our lawyers. And we're caught up, shoot killing each other. The Klan is set down, the Klan ain't got to kill nobody, they gonna kill themselves. Skinny ain't got to do nothing. And none of them radical groups got to do nothing. Because I want you to check out what's happening. Violence in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas. When they said, that's a crowd together, there's going to be some shooting. 100,000 white folks get together, it ain't no shooting. 10 blacks get together, they get to shoot each other. What's all that about? This is not loving each other. If you don't get along, why leave alone? If you don't do it, I'm leaving. You ain't got to fight. Get on away. If you don't get along with your family, go your own way from them. You know, I'm trying to make it. I'm trying to make you can't make nothing work that won't work, people. Yeah, but hear what I'm saying. You can't make your daughter love you. Can't make your mama love you. Can't make your daddy love you. Can't make your boyfriend love you. Can't make your husband love you. Can't make your children love you. You got to, there's a process. And that process is that you got to know that God is controlling this thing. And the night, glory, hallelujah, I just feel the anointing. Yesterday when we was at the Hilton, it was so much of energy of love and the anointing, the Holy Spirit coming in, praising God. And that same way, I know. And, you know, we got reports that were shooting in the mall. Where these guns come from? Where this dope come from? We ain't got no gun factory. We don't make no dope. The dope come in on the train. The dope come in on the airplane, on the ship. But they drop it all. Dr. King spoke about that. That we have to have jobs. And we have to love each other. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. I was talking to some truckers, they got their trucks, but they find out now all kind of things are blocked in. You know, it's just day in and day out, they run into race. This is the most racist country in the world. When you're talking about race, it's America's most racist than anybody. But we have to say we was him. We was already him. We had from Africa. Our ancestors were already him. America. We Americans already him. Our ancestors picked cotton.
Yeah.
Our ancestors did all of that. So I know. We are the right race. God bless you tonight. We're going to hit the Dr. Martin Luther King. And I got some things I want to say. Let me see, that's Dr. King. Mary, if you're on the line, press 1. If you're on the line, thank God bless you. Yo. Mm-hmm. Just lift your hand up. When you press 1, your hand come up. Thank you, Catherine. So there was a reason coming to him from the Lord. Oh, I see your hand up now. I see your hand up. And I don't know if there's a lot of people on tonight. God bless y'all that come on tonight. I want to tell y'all, y'all come on. This is April. If you got any music, send us. I'm going to go to our website, www.abrahamyourwebsite.com. I got Dr. Martin Luther King. Sister Mary Hawkins, God bless you. How are you?
God bless you too, Bishop.
Okay.
You want me to pray now?
God, did you live in Easter service? I know you were wrong, Easter service.
Yeah.
Yeah, God bless you. I want to tell you this before you read the scripture. When I come to Detroit next month, I got the Martin Luther King book, and that's money that I'm going to give out for people who are going to get it.
Stop, big man.
And I want you to be able to get from it, pass them out to people where they can put them in their store, in their business. Because that's the thing with the economic development. And I want to tell you that. But I want to tell you, I want you to get ready for a good financial blessing this year, 2022. And I want to tell you this for a prophesy to you. Your business is going to be increased 100%. Stop thinking about it. Make it happen. And you keep reading the 23rd number of Psalms. Now, when you read that, I want people to know what that means. David, the Lord is my shepherd. And what David was saying, God is my cover. You've got to have somebody watch over you. And God, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I said, I want. And I want to tell you tonight, whatever you want, whatever you need, okay, my God said, God got what you want. God got what you need. All you got to do is name it, claim it, and you're going to get it. This is the Dr. King movement tonight. We have Mary to put this on the theater. Black history.
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
I want to say tonight, Dr. King was a man of great wisdom and great knowledge. He was a man of vision for his people. And Dr. King said that the gun that's out of control, now we're finding out the kids got guns and jacking and doing all of that. And ain't nobody speaking about it. But this was not true.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions. institution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
And you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington, in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with a pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses?
Now, one of the things that you have to understand, we come from a long way, and we have to stay focused on God to bless us. got to continue to pray for people that are lost. And I want to tell you, God is able.
But if not, there was a day when many of the Israelites found themselves in bondage in Babylon. And there was a king of Babylon by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. You read about him a good deal in the book of Daniel, and it stands as an epic that will remain stenciled on the mental sheets of unfolding generations. Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty king. And when he ruled, he ruled. And when he issued an order, he meant business. And Nebuchadnezzar issued an order. He made a golden image, and his order was that everybody under the reign of his kingship had to bow before that golden image and worship it. Now, those of you who read the Bible remember that story. One day Nebuchadnezzar called in the judges and the governors and the sheriffs, and they had a dedicatory service for this golden image. And then he said to them, I'm instructing you to see that everybody bows before this golden image. But there were three young men around there.
Yes. Yes, sir.
One's name was Shadrach. The other one's name was Meshach. And the other name was Abednego. And they answered, and I read it from the scripture, and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king.
Yes.
But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now I want you to notice first here that these young men practiced civil disobedience.
Yes.
Civil disobedience is the refusal to abide by an order of the government or of the state or even of the court that your conscience tells you is unjust. Civil disobedience is based on a commitment to conscience. In other words, one who practices civil disobedience is obedient to what he considers a higher law. And then there comes a time when a moral man can obey a law which his conscience tells him is unjust. And I tell you this morning, my friends, that history has moved on. Great moments have often come forth because there were those individuals in every age and every generation who were willing to say, I will be obedient to a higher law. These men were saying, I must be disobedient to a king in order to be obedient to the king. And those people who so often criticize those of us who come to those moments when we must practice civil disobedience never remember that even right here in America, in order to get free from the oppression and the colonialism of the British Empire, our nation practiced civil disobedience. For what represented civil disobedience more than the Boston Tea Party? And never forget that everything that Hitler did in Germany was legal. It was legal to do everything that Hitler did to the Jews. It was a law in Germany that Hitler issued himself that it was wrong and illegal to aid and comfort a Jew in Hitler's Germany. But I tell you, if I had lived in Hitler's Germany with my attitude, I would have openly broken that law.
Make it plain.
I would have practiced civil disobedience. And so it is important to see that there are times when a man-made law is out of harmony with the moral law of the universe. There are times when human laws are out of harmony with eternal and divine laws. And when that happens, you have an obligation to break it. And I'm happy that in breaking it, I have some good company.
Yes.
I have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I have Jesus and Socrates.
Make it plain.
And I have all of the early Christians who refused to bow. Now the second interesting point is that these men never doubted God and his power as they did what they did. They made it very clear that they knew that God had the power to spare them. They said that to the king. Now we know that the God that we worship is able to deliver us. And that grew out of their experience. They had known God. They had experienced God in nature. They knew God as the creator. And then they had seen God in history.
Yes. Make it plain.
And then they had seen God, I'm sure, in their personal lives.
Yes. Amen.
They never doubted God's power to deliver them. But let me move now to the basic point of the message. And oh, this morning, if we forget everything I said, I hope you won't forget this.
Amen.
It came to the point after saying our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if he doesn't deliver us, we still are not going to bow.
Yes.
But if not, do you get that? And these men were saying that our faith is so deep and that we've found something so dear and so precious that nothing can turn us away from it. Our God is able to deliver us, but if not, this simply means, my friends, that the ultimate test of one's faith is his ability to say, but if not. You see, there is what you may call an if faith, and there is a though faith. And the permanent faith, the lasting, the powerful faith, is the though faith. Now, the if faith says, if all goes well, if life is hopeful, prosperous and happy, if I don't have to go to jail, if I don't have to face the agonies and burdens of life, if I'm not ever called bad names because of taking a stand that I feel that I must take, if none of these things happen, then I'll have faith in God. Then I'll be all right. That's the if faith. You know, a lot of people have the if faith. Jacob found himself in that dilemma once, and his faith was contingent on an if. And he said, now, if God will be with me, and if he will keep me in this way that I go, and if God will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. That's the if faith. Jacob hadn't quite gotten to the essence of religion. There is a though faith, though. And the though faith says, though things go wrong,
yes, sir,
though evil is temporarily triumphant,
yes, sir,
though sickness comes and the cross looms, nevertheless, I'm going to believe anyway, and I'm going to have faith anyway. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And old Job got to that point, and he had a though faith. He looked out, and everything that he had been taken away from him. And even his wife said to him, now, what you ought to do, Brother Job, is to curse God and die. God has been unkind to you. And you should have let God know a long time ago that you would only follow him if he allowed you to stay rich.
Make it plain.
If he allowed your cattle to stay in place, you ought to curse him and die, Job, because he hadn't treated you right.
all in his hand. And I want you to know tonight that God will take you to another level. And get ready for him to do it for you.
Thank you.
Don't forget every Monday, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Movement. We're praying for success, and we got the door open, and we got to stand for justice and truth and equality. We're praying for you, you, and you. Don't forget on Monday night, it's Dr. Martin Luther King Movement. Got a problem, call in your problem. We want to deal with the problems that you have on Mondays. Civil rights, Dr. King, we plead that right now we need to register and vote and get ready for the next election. And we got to understand we must stand together to fight the racism, discrimination, fight supremacy, racism still real in America. But as we out tonight, we're telling you, Dr. King is able to break every yoke. So I just need to get ready to understand all is well.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of